Open your Bibles to the 119th Psalm. Psalms 119. It's a joy to be in church today. It's always a joy to be able to be in church. And you may not appreciate that until you come to the place where maybe you can't be in church. Well, let's back up, preacher. There we go. And for those who visit with us, we're working on learning how to use this. And I don't know, something about men and remotes that go together. And all the ladies said, oh me. But we're working on using the PowerPoint presentations as a help. You say, well, what's the deal? The deal is, it's another gate, so to speak, for truth. Not just the eye gate or the ear gate, it's the eye gate as well. And hopefully it's helpful. And some folks can do better when they see things. And so we're just trying to be as effective as we can in the preaching. We're in Psalm 119, the longest of all the Psalms. A tremendous, tremendous Psalm. All dealing with the Word of God. 176 verses. And in each verse you'll find a reference in some way to God's Word. I want to read the first 8 verses. I want you to follow along with me. The psalmist writes here, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Father, this morning we are so very thankful for this blessed book You've given us. And as we look to what the psalmist had to say about Your Word, we pray that You would imprint these truths in our heart and that we would love the Word of God like we should and read it and study it and learn from it like You would want us to. Help us this morning to have hearts that are open to You as You want to speak to us through Your Word and by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we especially pray for any who would be here without Christ, that as the Holy Spirit reveals the truth to them of their need of Christ, that they'll respond, that they'll be willing to accept that gift that You offer, the gift of eternal life. Help me now. You know the weaknesses. Lord, You know the need. And I just pray that You would give me that unction that I need, that I could be the messenger boy, that I could be what You need me to be for these folks this morning. Have Your way in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I titled this, Making Your Bible Come Alive. Making Your Bible Come Alive. You know, if I were to tell you, you could purchase one of the most valuable things in this world at the dollar store, would you believe me? Well, it's true. It's absolutely true. I know because I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. And if the truth be known, I didn't buy one of the most valuable things in the world when I saw it at the dollar store. Because I already own several. What am I talking about? Well, of course I'm talking about the good old King James Version Bible. You can buy one at the dollar store. Just a dollar. I find this a very great irony. That one of the greatest treasures in the world is available for just a buck. But you know an even greater irony? Is how few people in this world really know the true value of the Bible. You know, we here in America are truly spoiled when it comes to the Bible. We have an abundance of Bibles. And understand when I say Bible today, I'm talking about the good old King James Bible. We believe that is the only Bible. True Bible. Now, we can own as many Bibles as we want to. You can go buy a whole case of Bibles for yourself if you want to. We can read our Bible almost any time and anywhere we want to. We can go sit in the mall and read the Bible if we want to. Not illegal. We can sit in our car, we can sit in our home, we can sit at our desk. If we're self-employed, of course, that's another subject. But there's so many freedoms we have just to sit and read our Bible here in America. And you know what it's caused? It's caused Americans to lose the respect for and value of this blessed book. You know, it's amazing that there are folks in this world who would give almost anything they have just to own the Bible. There are countries in this world where owning a Bible can get you jailed or even executed. And what really amazes me is how many professed Christians who own a Bible fail to read and study the Bible. Some say, well, you know, preacher, it's really hard to understand the Bible. Well, let me share this with you. The way to learning to understand the Bible is to read it and study it. And the more you read it and study it, the more you understand it. Other people say, well, you know, preacher, I just don't have time to read the Bible. Yet those same people have time to read the newspaper, watch television, engage in their hobbies, you know, text and all email and all that kind of stuff, but don't have time to read the Bible. Now, God gave us His Word as a revelation of Himself to us. This is God's revelation of who He is, what He is, just what He wants us to know about Him. And the need is for each of us to strive to have the Bible come alive to us in our heart and in our life. This book is alive. For the Word of God is quick, the Bible says. That means alive. And it needs to be alive in us. This morning I want to share with you just three things. That if you'll just do these three things, in the words of one well-known preacher who's now with the Lord, he said this, it will make the Bible burst a flame in your heart. How do we strive now to make the Bible come alive in our life? Well, we can do that, number one, by appreciating the Bible's virtues. By appreciating the Bible's virtues, have you ever thought about this book? Some of the virtues of the Bible, for instance, the Bible is a timeless book. Look at what the psalmist says here. He says in verse 89, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. In 152, he says this, concerning Thy testimonies I have known of old that Thou hast founded them forever. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And you know, it's interesting today. Many people say, well, you know, that Bible, it's outdated. It's old-fashioned. How many of you ever heard that? Hey, you can't go by what the Bible says. That's from centuries and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right. Some believe the Bible has outlasted its usefulness. Oh, there was a time when the Bible was good and right and, you know, appropriate, but not today. But the fact is, the truths and the precepts of the Bible are true, and they are applicable to every generation. Think about this. Think about the fact... Would you open that door? Think about the fact that America was a much more moral nation when the majority of her citizens believed the Bible. Think about a day in yesteryear, and I'm not saying everybody was saved, but I'm saying the majority of people in America believed that this was God's Word, whether they liked it or agreed with it or not, that the Bible was holy. And think about our society in that day, where crime was not rampant like it is today. Fornication was not prominent. The divorce rate was a fraction of what it is today. Homosexuals were still in their closet. Teen pregnancies were rare. Abortion was illegal. Murderers were executed. Television was family-oriented. And most children grew up in a two-parent home with both of their biological parents. But that was a day when people may not have agreed with it, but they understood this is the Word of God. And these ought to be the rules for society. The Bible is a timeless book. Let me tell you something. The principles and precepts of this book are just as applicable today as they were 2,000 years ago. And then notice this. The Bible is a truthful book. Sometimes we don't like the truth of it. Look what the psalmist said in verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. And of course, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want truth? Here it is. You know, it's interesting that for centuries, men have tried to disprove the Bible. See, the enemy hates this book. And he knows if he could somehow disprove anything in this book, it would undermine everything in it. And he's instigated for centuries now that men would strive and study and work and do all kinds of things to try to disprove the Bible. The fact is that untold numbers of experts in their fields, I'm talking about archaeologists and geologists and scientists and mathematicians, linguistic experts and astronomers and on we could go, have tried to disprove the facts of the Bible. You know what's happened? Every time they tried to disprove it, they found out the Bible's true. I marvel with these archaeologists, you know, they say, well, this couldn't have happened, that couldn't have happened, there couldn't have been this city, this person couldn't have lived. And as they dig and dig and dig, they keep finding evidence that backs up the Bible and what it says. We need to understand the Bible is inerrant, the Bible is infallible, and inerrant it means there are no errors, infallible means it will never be proven wrong. And that's all because of this fact, 2 Timothy 3:16. This Bible is God-breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed this book. You know how you speak? You breathe. This is God's spoken word written down. 2 Peter 1:21. Peter writes this. He's speaking about the Bible. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What Peter's saying there is when God wanted His Word put down on paper, He moved in men and He bore them along like a ship would be borne along by the wind, carried them along to have them put down what God wanted put down. By the way, we still have it today. And then we need to understand the Bible is not just timeless and truthful, but the Bible is a treasured book. Look at verse 72. The psalmist said this. The law of my mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. You think he valued the Word of God? I would think so. You know, to the unsaved, the Bible is just another book. They put no real value in it. Yay, it might be something. Yeah. Many do not even own one. Many who do own one have never read it. I told you, I grew up in a home, we had a Bible. It was a big honking Bible. It was. And it sat on the coffee table. And nobody ever opened it. Well, maybe once in a while Mom did. She'd put a flower in there and press it or, you know, something like that. Nobody read the Bible. To the believer, though, the Bible is one of the most precious possessions. Listen, the Bible is our guide for life. It's our revelation of God to us. It's His love letter. Our Bible is a comfort in our times of sorrow. It's a source of strength in our times of weakness. It's a spiritual food that feeds us spiritually. And it's the mirror that reveals our imperfections. Let me read this. The Bible. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is the grand subject, our good, the design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. The Bible. It is a treasured book. We need to strive to make the Bible come alive to us, number one, by appreciating its virtues. Number two, by assimilating the Bible's vitality. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, we're told there that the Bible is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. When the writer there says quick, he's talking about the book is alive. It's a living book. The Bible is a living book that can and will work in the life of those who truly read it and study it. It's a living book. Listen, this book will make a difference. We need to learn to pray over this book. The psalmist said this there in verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, when we read the Bible, we need to ask God to teach us. Lord, help me to see some things here. Not just read to read. Lord, show me something. By the way, He will. Maybe that's why we don't pray that prayer. But we need to pray. Ask God to reveal truth to us. Ask Him that our eyes would be open. Look at verse 36. Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. We need to pray that our heart will be stirred. Verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Ask God, enlighten my mind. And then verse 67, we need to pray, God, help what I read to change my life. Psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Pray over it. Ask God, help me as I read. Show me truth and help me to understand truth. Number two. Oh, I got two and three. Number two, we must ponder it. Think about it. The psalmist said in verse 15, I will, look at that next word, meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Can I illustrate meditating for you? How many farmers do we have in here? Anybody grew up around a farm? Anybody been around cows? You ever hear somebody, I remember in school, the girls would be chewing gum and the teacher would say, you chew like a cow! What's that got to do with meditating? Cows are interesting creatures. They have several stomachs. Somebody told me one day they thought I had TB, two bellies. No, the cows have several stomachs. And what they'll do is they go out in the pasture and they eat grass. Well, you ever been around a cow eating grass? They're noisy. They're puffing through their nose. You know, you look at them from a distance, you think, man, isn't that certain? Get up around them. And they're wolfing down that grass. I mean, they're doing some mowing. But they'll eat that grass, and then next thing you'll see them, they'll go over and lay down. They'll find a nice shade tree, or if it's a cold day, a sunny spot, they'll just lay down. And there they lay. Just like the girl I had in my class. You know what they're doing? They're bringing up what they ate, and they're grinding it again to get out of it what they can get out of it. Bring it up, chew it. You know, that's the idea of meditation. Just like the cow eats the grass, we read and we get some. But then if we stop and we meditate, bring it back. Chew on it a little while. Huh? We need to ponder it. Think about what you read. Don't just read it. What did it mean to me? How should it affect my life? What truth is there? Ponder it. Read it with expectation. Have a pen and pencil there to underline or to mark or maybe even a pad to jot down notes. Oh, many times I've been reading my Bible and man, give me a pen. Ooh. A circle. Oh, yeah. Read it. One man said with a sanctified common sense. And then he said this, ask yourself these six questions as you read. Is there a promise to claim? This book's full of promises. As you're reading, hey, is that a promise I can claim for me? I've known people who said, you know, when they go through their Bible, they find a promise, they'll mark in a margin, maybe a P in circle it or however they want to indicate promise. So later they can come back, oh yeah, there's a promise. Is there a lesson to learn? We read, over in the New Testament, we're told that the examples of the Old Testament are for our learning. So as we read about Joshua, we read about Joseph, we read about these in the Old Testament, is there a lesson for me to learn? As we read the Gospels, is there something I need to learn? Is there a blessing to enjoy? Thank you, Lord. I was reading my Bible today and God gave me this blessing. Is there a command to obey? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a new thought to carry with me? We need to ponder it. And then we need to protect it. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Look at verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Remember the parable Jesus told about the sower? How many of you remember that? The sower went out to sow. He sowed the seed. Some fell on stony ground. Some on better ground. And some the birds came and snatched it. Remember all that? And then his disciples, when they got away, they said, explain that parable to us. He said, the seed is the word of God. As the word of God is sown in our heart, there are enemies who will come and try to snatch it away. The enemy himself, Satan, and other things will try to distract us from the word of God and rob us of what it wants to say to us, what it wants to do in us. So we need to protect ourselves from that. We need to hide it in our heart. By the way, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. I go over there for just a minute. Just a couple pages over. And Proverbs 4 verse 23, a very key element in our Christian lives. Solomon writes there, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Talking about protecting our heart. We hide the Word of God in our heart. We need to protect it, that it not get snatched away. And then we need to learn to not just pray over it and ponder it and protect it, but practice it. Oh boy. That's where our big problem comes in, doesn't it? James says we're not supposed to be hearers only, but doers of the Word. Hey, it's interesting. I've met Christian people who could recite whole chapters of the Bible to me. But they weren't living it. What's wrong with that picture? We must not only protect it and ponder it and pray over it, we need to practice it. We need to live by it. When the Bible says we shouldn't, then we shouldn't. When the Bible says we should, then we should. I love so much Brother Hammett's testimony of those men in Africa. How they came to him and said, missionary, whatever the Bible says, that's what we want to do. What a spirit! But that's how all of us should be. Yield it. Protect it. Practice it. One other thing, we need to proclaim it. Look at verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. We need to proclaim what the Word of God has to say. Verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. We need to share the gospel. We shouldn't be ashamed to hand out a tract. We shouldn't be ashamed to talk to somebody about Jesus. We shouldn't be ashamed to invite people to come to church. We need to proclaim the Word of God because it's through the Word of God that people get saved. We need to share the gospel message so that people can come to Christ. And then we need to disciple those by the Word of God. We need to share the principles and precepts of this book every opportunity we have. So, we can make the Bible come alive by appreciating the Bible's virtues. Assimilating the Bible's vitality, but there's a third way. By appropriating the Bible's value. It's above everything. The most valuable thing you can possess. The Word of God. Verse 72. We read it. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. When I was looking for pictures, I could not find one. I wanted so bad to find a picture of a balance with a bunch of gold on one end and the Bible on the other, and the Bible down and the gold up. The Bible will always outweigh any riches this world has to offer. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. He's saying the most valuable thing in my life are the principles and precepts of your word, Lord. I started out by saying one of the most valuable things in this whole world can be bought at a dollar store for a dollar. Why is it so valuable? It's a source of victory. Verse 45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Liberty, being free. Free from what? The power of sin and Satan. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. When we got saved, we got delivered from the power of sin and Satan. We've been set free now to walk in newness of life. It's a source of victory. We don't have to have sin having, Paul says, dominion over us anymore. We can win the battle. Listen, the world says, alcoholics never really recover. I can take you to some folks who used to be alcoholics, they're recovered. How? By the word of God and the power of God. God gave them the ability to overcome that sin. I remember one man who was in drugs and alcohol, had been to rehab 3 times. And every time he came back, he fell right back into it. And then he got saved. God delivered him from that. And he had the ability to say no and no to liquor. How's that happen? It's a source of victory. Notice also it's a source of growth. The psalmist says it there in verse 32. He says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now he's not talking about having a bigger heart. He's talking about enlarging his spiritual heart. You know, the Bible's our spiritual food. I'm not going to preach at you, but I want to ask you this question. How many of you have eaten today? You ate something. Okay. How many of you are fixing to eat today? 8 ASAP, right? We know that we need to eat every day. Stay strong. Now, we might eat too much and all, but we understand. If we don't eat, we're going to get weak. We're going to get anemic. We're going to get sick. We got to eat. Take that over to the spiritual life. We've got to eat spiritually. How do we do that? We feed on the Word of God. Here's the point. Many Christians are weak and sickly spiritually because they're not feeding themselves. Listen, when you come every service, I try to feed you. It's my job. I'm a shepherd. I want to feed my sheep. But you need more than just me. Another question. About everybody in this room said you're planning on eating today. We'll take that as a given, okay? But how many of you would say, I'm going to eat today and then I'm not going to eat again until next Sunday? Why not? Oh no, I'd get hungry and I'd get weak and I'd get anemic and I'd get sick. No, I gotta eat. Well, the same's true spiritually. You gotta eat. And I can't be with you every day to feed you. You need to get in the Word of God and get something to build you up and sustain you. Those who ignore it become weak and anemic. But there's another side. Those who feast on it grow strong and vital in the Lord. And I notice it's a source of joy. Well, I got to read my Bible. Huh? I promised I'd read, so I got to read.
I don't think the psalmist felt that way. Look at verse 54. He said, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." Look at 111. He says, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." Listen, you find a believer who loves the Word of God and spends time in his Bible, I'll guarantee you're going to find a believer has some joy. On the other side of that, you find somebody who never spends any time in the Word of God, and they're getting beat up by the devil, and beat up by the flesh, and beat up by the world, and beat up here, and they're not going to have much joy. This book is a source of joy. And then it's a source of power. 125. "I am thy servant, give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies." The psalmist recognizes his need as God's servant is the power found in his word. This is our power. And you know, it's interesting. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says that we're in a warfare. We need to put on our armor. And you know, he talks about all of our defenses, the helmet and the shield and all. But then he gives us one weapon. One offensive weapon that we can use, and that's the Word of God. He says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." You know, to be an overcomer in the spiritual realm, to defeat the devil, to defeat sin, to stand firm against the onslaught of our flesh and the world, we need to be strong in the Word. And then it's a source of guidance. I love this verse, 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I've used the illustration before of how when I used to go deer hunting when I was younger and stupid. Not the deer hunting stupid, but the way I did it was stupid. We used to get up opening day of deer season, about 4 o'clock in the morning. And of course, we had to have the big hunter's breakfast. And we had our own deer camp, so we would cook this big breakfast. Eggs and bacon and pancakes and, you know, just. And we'd eat this big breakfast. And then we'd get all of our clothes on because it's cold out there in that deer season. And we would go out, and from the cabin we were on the side of the mountain, we would begin climbing that mountain. And we wanted to be at the very top of that mountain before daybreak. Now, if you've ever looked at the Blue Mountain and imagine climbing that this way, with a full load of clothing, rifle, whatever you took to eat, et cetera, et cetera. But we would do that every deer season. We'd go, and by the way, about halfway up the mountain, all that stuff we ate would leave us. And I said, I mean, you just get nauseated from climbing and sweating. And we'd get out there, it'd be dark. And we're going uphill through the woods, no trails, making our way to the top of that mountain. You know, the first time I went, I was even dumber than the second time. I didn't take a flashlight. Duh. What did I learn quick?
Next year I had a flashlight. So now I got a flashlight. It's dark. We're going through the woods. And I shine the light. And you know where I shine the light? Because there's rocks, there's logs, there's sticks, there's all kinds of things to trip over. So as I'm walking, I'm shining the light. And then every once in a while, to keep my direction right, check up what's ahead, I shine up there. Look back at what the psalmist said. 105. He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." As I read the word of God, it enlightens me for my daily walk. It shows me the dangers, just like that flashlight did. So I can avoid them. Where there's a big rock, I can go around it. Where there's a branch hanging, it's going to poke me in the eye. I can avoid it. And it shows me what's right here. What do you need to be on guard for today? Right now. A light. A lamp and a light. It says, a lamp under my feet, a light under my path. Then when I shine it this way, it gives me direction. Keeps me going in the right direction. That's what this book will do for you if you read it. It gives me guidance. Oh, preacher, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to get your nose in the book. You need to learn to love this book. You need to do what the Bible says about letting this little book affect us and let the book come alive in your heart and in your life. When God says this book is alive, He's talking about it does things. You need to let it. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Having the Word come alive in our heart and in our life. I want to ask this question. Is the Bible alive in your heart and in your life? Has the Bible come alive to you? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder how many in this room could say, you know, preacher, yes, the Bible is alive to me. It's come alive to me. It's alive to me every day. Here's my hand as a testimony. We hold it up high. God bless you. You know what I'm talking about this morning. Oh, it convicts me, it guides me, it directs me. Now let me ask this question. How many could not raise their hand? You might say, you know, preacher, I read the Word, but it's not alive to me. Or you might say, preacher, I have failed here. I read once in a while, but you know, preacher, I have not let the Word of God come alive in my life like I should. And today I'm making the decision. I want the Bible to come alive in my heart and my life. And I'm going to make some changes. And I'm going to apply those things we talked about today. And I'm going to ask God to help me that I might have the Bible come alive to me. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I wonder if there's some here today say, preacher, this morning God has helped me to have a greater appreciation for the Word of God. God has helped me to see just how valuable my Bible really is. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? God bless you. God bless you. One more question. Are you saved? By that I mean, if you died right now, do you have the assurance you're going to heaven? Oh, I don't know if anybody can. Oh yeah, the Bible says you can. And we would love to show you right from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. Right now, God's speaking your heart about the matter. Right now, with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there's some folks here who say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know of a time when I've accepted Christ as my Savior. But right now, I'm willing to admit I need Jesus. And I would like somebody to take the Bible today and show me how I can be saved. Here's my hand. I won't call your name. I won't embarrass you. I'll pray for you. Preacher, I'm in that situation. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? I'd be happy to. Would you just slip your hand up?" Let's stand together. Father, bless this invitation. Thank you for this blessed book. Thank you that we can have it come alive in our heart and our life. Thank you for the ones who have been touched by your Holy Spirit today, who have a desire to make decisions about this matter today. Help them. If it would please you to bring them forward in the invitation. And then I pray for that one or ones who's here without Christ. I pray that you'd bring them, that we could show them the way of salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number?